I'd like to call to order our council meeting of April 21st, 2014. It is 6:30 p.m. and let's all stand for a moment of silence before the flag salute. And tonight we don't have a student with us because they're on Easter break, spring break, but Councilmember Bright has agreed to do our flag salute.
If you'll please all join me. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we have roll call, please?
Here.
Here. Here.
Here.
Here. And we have closed session announcements from our last meeting. City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. At the last council meeting, the council met in closed session on two items. First one being labor negotiations for all employee groups. The second being potential litigation, one case. After convening into open session, it was reported that council took no reportable actions in closed session.
Thank you. And we're now at the agenda review portion of our agenda, and this is when the City Council reviews the order of business to be conducted, receives requests for or makes announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. Is there anyone who wanted to make any changes? No. Okay.
I'll move we accept the agenda as published.
Second.
Moved by Councilmember Nichols and seconded by Councilmember Bright. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, unanimous. We'll keep it as it is. So we're moving now to our ceremonial calendar, and we have first a proclamation declaring April 25th, 2014 as National Arbor Day. I'm wondering if my co-tree-hugging colleague would like to read that one. I didn't give you much notice. Do you want me to do it?
It doesn't matter. Whatever you prefer.
I'm going to have you do that one.
Sure.
On the Planning Commission, we had a reputation.
Certainly. Is there anyone here to receive this?
Oh, okay.
Okay. This is a proclamation of the City Council declaring April 25th, 2014 as National Arbor Day. In 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees and countless other wood products. Trees in our city increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community. Grover Beach has been recognized for the 29th year as a Tree City USA by the National Arbor Day Foundation and desires to continue its tree planting practices. The Grover Beach Parks and Recreation Department will conduct an Arbor Day ceremony and children's special event on Friday, April 25th, 2014 at Grover Heights Park from 3 to 5 p.m. to celebrate the importance of trees. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the City Council of the City of Grover Beach hereby officially proclaims April 25th, 2014 as National Arbor Day in Grover Beach and urges all citizens to support efforts to care for our trees and woodlands and to support our community forestry program.
Thank you. So I guess the chief's going to take your photograph, is that right?
Then I have a few announcements.
Okay.
Kathy,
get up here so you're a little
bit
more together.
Not a little
big and strong.
Ready? All right. Honorable Mayor and City Council members, thank you. We wanted to announce to you and the members of the audience and people watching from home this Friday, April 25th, we are going to be having our Arbor Day celebration at Grover Heights Park. We're going to be partnering with the YMCA and the after-school program, and any children between the ages of 5 and 12 are welcome to come out and celebrate with us. We're going to have stations of fun to celebrate trees. So we have the Cal Poly University logging team coming out. They're going to teach the kids about cookies, which are the sections of trees when you cut them. We also have the San Luis Obispo County Parks Department ranger activity. And that's when they actually take a core of a tree and teach the children about core, the age and the progression and the health of a tree. And we also have plant seedling plantings happening. The kids can take that home. We also have a state parks docents. They're going to be educating the kids about eucalyptus trees and the butterfly migration process. And we will also have our fire and police safety sections. And we'll have Five Cities Fire Authority and the Grover Beach Police Department present. So come on out and celebrate with us. So we'd be happy to have
homeowners and professional contractors can save time and money while making California's communities a safer place to live and work by dialing 811 in advance of all digging projects. And whereas the 811 Call Before You Dig program is a vital public education and awareness program dealing with the safety of subsurface excavation and education, and it's a key to promoting safe digging practices. And whereas the five steps to safe excavation are survey and mark, call before you dig, wait the required time, respect the marks, dig with care, and whereas more than 170,000 underground utility lines are struck each year in the United States, and approximately 33% of all digging damages in the United States result from not calling 811 before digging, and whereas undesired consequences such as service interruption, outages, damage to public and private infrastructure and property, damage to the environment, personal injury, and death are risked by failing to call 811 before digging safely, marking utility lines, and whereas calling 811 to be connected to a one-call center before digging, respecting the color-coded lines that demark underground utilities, and digging with care around the marked lines will help keep Californians safe and prevent damages and destruction, and whereas as California's economy recovers from the recent recession and the state's economic recovery stimulates new construction requires supporting infrastructure, and California's underground utility infrastructure is jeopardized by the unintentional damage caused by those who fail to call before digging. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby officially proclaim April 4, 2014 as California Safe Digging Month, and encourage all excavators, homeowners, and professional contractors to call 811 in advance of all digging projects.
Thank you. Was there someone out there?
Yes.
Oh, great.
What is that number again?
811.
You didn't say it enough.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, come on. Oh, stand up.
Get up here.
Yeah. This is important.
To you.
To you, too. Yeah.
You can stay here.
Come on, man. It's okay.
I can't say much more than you just read, so I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks for coming out tonight. Next on our agenda is the public communications. And on this one, any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the council. We will listen to all communications in compliance with the Brown Act. However, we cannot act on items that are not on the agenda. I do have one request to speak, and if there's anybody else who wishes to come forward, that would be just fine. So Otis Page from Arroyo Grande.
Otis Page at 606 Myrtle Street, Arroyo Grande. I'm reluctantly here tonight to talk about the fire tax going down. I have a very simple request for this council. I think this issue has political legs. There will be a continuing consternation about what happened here. And as a function of that, I will be personally addressing the Arroyo Grande Council tomorrow. I think the council at Arroyo Grande has been personally responsible for leading on this issue. And if there's going to be fault found here, it exists with Arroyo Grande. And I'm a citizen of that city. I only have two requests. One, that you consider a motion to replace the present board of the fire authority with the mayors of each city and the chairman of of Oceano. There has to be a new broom here because there is going to be a significant budget shortfall. All right? That's my first request, that you consider that. There has to be a new broom. Second request, I think that this city is making excellent progress. I applaud what you're doing and your development. It's fantastic. We love this city. We love coming down here. All right, with that in mind, we think you should seriously consider getting your own quote from CAL FIRE for your services. The reason for that, very simple, all right? No one knows exactly what's going to happen financially with the fire authority. And I thank you for my comments.
Thank you for coming out tonight. Was there anyone else who wanted to come forward? And we need your name and city of residence.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council members. My name is Linda Winger. I am a citizen of Grover Beach, proudly. And I am representing the San Luis Obispo County YMCA, and I have presented to you before. And it's my pleasure tonight to talk to you about our Grover Beach Elementary Edible Garden, which is getting ready to celebrate its first year anniversary. And I would like to personally invite you all to come and attend. I have some invitations here for you, which I, with your permission, will bring up in a moment. But our event is April 23rd at Grover Beach Elementary School from 3:30 to 5 p.m. We will be having student-led garden tours, and we're celebrating because we've made it a whole entire year. The students, we have over 100 students in our after-school programs. We've partnered with Kathy in the city, and they've been great supporters. You guys all have. And we would like to celebrate with you, and we're going to have some garden food, some kale bruschetta is what I heard, in addition to some other some treats, and I'd like to personally invite you all to come out and celebrate with us, take some pictures, student-led garden tours, and some information about the garden, and we're looking forward to continue on with our relationship with both Kathy and Parks and Rec and the city to make sure that the garden is accessible to all, but specifically the students who have enjoyed such success this past year. They are really enjoying the garden, having that opportunity to learn about, you know, planting and agriculture and horticulture and pests and friends of gardens and not friends. And so it's really a great time. So that's what I wanted to speak with you about tonight.
Thank you. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Actually, I did have a quick question, if it's okay.
Sure.
Thank you. And thank you for working on the edible garden. Actually, I guess two questions. How many kids have participated in it?
Over 100 students in
nice.
The course of a school year, yeah.
And does it make them like vegetables anymore?
You know what? It's amazingly amazing. When kids grow their own fruits and vegetables, they have no bias towards it. They're like, I grew this, and so they're eating it. And they have things like, you know, all the vegetables, but they also are doing edible flowers and edible, everything edible. And they're growing by the seasons, and so they're learning what grows during certain times of the year. So they're very excited to share all of that, all of their newfound knowledge with you. And we will be continuing throughout the next year. Thanks to 6 p.m., you could stop by at any time.
Terrific. Yes.
That's good to know, because I have a meeting that day in San Luis, too. So I wanted to come to that, but I'll stop by sometime.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Can I pass you that to
Yeah,
you
sure. Bring them up, and we'll...
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have fun. That's great. Next on our agenda, we have public hearings. Number three is public review draft of the 2014 housing element, and our community development director Buckingham and planner Tu Reese. It's not Planner Tu Reese.
It's a surprise.
Mr. Buckingham will tell us who it is.
good evening, Mayor, members of the council. As you know, the city applied and received funding for the housing element update through the Community Development Block Grant Program. And as a result, the city has hired PMC Consulting out of San Luis Obispo to assist with the update of the housing element. And Amy Sinsheimer is here tonight to provide the council with a presentation on the update, which means I won't have to talk as much. I'm going to give you a quick background. The housing element is one of the seven mandated elements as part of the city's general plan. It's the only element that is statutorily required to be updated and certified by the California Department of Housing and Community Development, or as we say, HCD, and that occurs every 5 years. State law requires local governments to adequately plan to meet their existing and projected housing needs, including their share of the regional housing need, which Amy will talk about a little bit more. The housing element contains goals, policies, and programs to achieve the quantified housing objectives in the housing element. It identifies demographics related to housing needs. It discusses potential housing constraints within the city, and we also evaluate the progress made since the adoption of the last housing element in 2009. I did want to note of 22 programs in the 2009 housing element that had specific deadlines to be implemented, we completed 20 or made significant progress out of those 22 since 2009. So as a result of that, we did qualify for a streamlined review under HCD's process this year. And it was in the housing element you're reviewing or have reviewed is it's basically limited to update in, I'll say, technical review.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. As Bruce said, my name is Amy Sinsheimer. I work with PMC, and my office is in San Luis Obispo. This gives an overview of some of the things I want to cover tonight. Bruce gave a pretty good introduction to what is the housing element and why we're here right now. I'll talk a little bit about our data that we've been using to update the document.
Could we get you to move or switch or something because the shadow's blocking the overhead. That's better, thank you.
No problem. Okay. I'll mention a couple things that are new this time around. This is the fifth cycle of the housing element update. It began in 1969 when the state law began to require this element of the general plan. And this is the fifth time that you have done this. As Bruce mentioned, we're going to look at the numbers that you're required to accommodate based on what the state has allocated to this area. We'll talk a little bit about some program updates and then where we go from here and any questions you might have. The main thing here that I don't think we touched on yet is that the due date for the San Luis Obispo County region is June 30th of this year. So that means that if you have an adopted housing element by June 30th, then the state will find the city to be in compliance, and that means you're eligible for funding and have a legal general plan. I want to talk a little bit about the data that we used. Chapter 2, I believe, is the primary chapter that includes, Chapter 3 that includes a lot of updated data since the last housing element. We had the 2010 census, of course, since 2009, and a lot of the data does rely on that effort. We did use a data packet that HCD put together for the San Luis Obispo County jurisdictions, and it does also include quite a bit of data from the American Community Survey, which is a census product. It occurs more often than the 10-year census. It doesn't have as large of a sample size, so you will probably notice there are some differences in transit and services each jurisdiction has. Generally, since the last housing element cycle, a lot of jurisdictions, especially in rural areas, which would be here, have a slightly lower number than the last round. The number this time is 165 units. I believe it was 260-something last time. And the main reason we're seeing them tell us why that is because of the economy in the last 5 years being so slow and the housing market being so slow. So SLOCOG gets a grand number for the whole county, which was 4,090 units. And through a process that took about a year or so, they then allocated 165 of those to Grover Beach. And this is the detail on how those units are split. They're allocated into different income categories, beginning with the lowest category, which is extremely low income, and all the way up to above moderate. Extremely low income is less than 30% of area median income. And I can find my pile here. Let me give you a sense for what that means in San Luis Obispo County. So that is below $22,600 for a family of four. And that's a countywide number. They don't split those numbers out by jurisdiction. So this is a number that the city is required to plan for. It doesn't mean that you need to construct all of these housing units, but it does require that we look at the land that you have zoned for residential development and see if that acreage can accommodate these numbers. We also took a look at any permits that have been approved since January 1st, which is when your actual cycle to project for this housing element and the units began. You have approved, well, when we wrote this draft, you had two units approved in the above moderate income category. So we were able to subtract those out, and that left you with 163 units. We looked at your vacant land, and you had enough to accommodate 281 units. So we have concluded that you do have enough land to accommodate the 165 number. You also have other land that is what we would call underutilized. It may have structures on it, but may have space for more development. And we didn't scrutinize that land in this analysis, but that does give you other options moving forward if you do grow and looking towards the future. Does tee off of a previous program, but we have revised it quite a bit, and it basically looks to keep your new housing development compatible and architecturally pleasing. There is a policy 2.1, that also goes along with this program. And then program 4.5 is in response to a bill that passed in 2011 called Senate Bill 812. It legislated that in the housing element, we should consider those with developmental disabilities. And this is what is called a special needs group in the housing element. We've been looking at those with disabilities for quite some time. And this is a subgroup of that group. It includes those with autism, cerebral palsy, and other conditions or disabilities that start usually before the age of 18 and last for your entire life. So we've included information about folks with this type of disability who live in Grover Beach and what types of services and needs that they have. This program addresses that group. It also addresses others with special needs and how the city can facilitate meeting those needs. It's a pretty broad program. So if you have any additional questions about what this means in terms of your responsibilities, we can get into that a little further. So as Bruce mentioned, if the council decides to submit the draft to HCD, we'll do that before the end of April. HCD has legally 60 days to do their review. Because the city does qualify for streamlined review, they are striving to review in 30 to 45 days. So we hope that that will take place, and that will make the process a little bit faster, and we believe we have a very good chance of adopting the housing element before the end of June, which is the deadline that I mentioned. And the housing element will come back to the Planning Commission and the City Council after it's gone through review by HCD, and we have proposed revisions to address their comments. And if there have been any other comments received during that time period, we will let you know about those as well. And I'm open for any comments or questions.
Do council members have questions?
I just have one generic question, and it kind of applies to the whole document, and I'm sure I've asked this question before in other references, but the use of the word shall under all the policies, is that a
programs that all say consider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's very different. That means we're thinking about doing this and we're going to look into it further. So right. When it says shall, it's a commitment.
It is a commitment. Mm-hmm. Martin, did you?
Unlike some of the other policies or goals in the general plan where they are not state mandated, this one, where it says shall or will, means that basically in order to get the certification from the city, the city needs to commit to doing the things that are enumerated.
Just one more thing is that there may be programs in here that say shall that are not necessarily required by the state. So if you have feedback, we can talk further about whether it might make sense to make a revision.
Mm-hmm.
Most of what's in here is something that the state is looking for. It's a pretty streamlined program section at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions?
I just have one follow-up question to Councilmember Marshall's question with regards to shall. With any of the shall statements that are in here, does that or is there anything that's in here that requires us as staff to do more that we haven't already done? I mean, is there any programs implementation that's not already been forwarded or already in place that we haven't already accomplished?
There's one that's coming to mind right away, which is program 4.4. This one carries on the completion of complying with Senate Bill 2, which you did almost all of already, and that had to do with emergency shelters and transitional and supportive housing. The state has clarified their interpretation of that law in this round, and what the city did previously was allow transitional and supportive housing in all residential zones, but what the law is actually requiring is for you to allow it in all zones that allow residential. So that program is continued and modified to call for amendments to the code to allow those types of uses in all zones that allow residential. So that would add mixed use zones and commercial zones generally. I think there may be an industrial zone as well. It doesn't give the details about how you need to allow it in the program, but that's something that we are helping other cities with, and I can answer more questions about if you'd like. There is a second piece to that program that also calls for clarification of the minimum distance standard between emergency.
Basically, we thought we adopted something that did comply, and now HCD has come back and said, you didn't get it quite right. We're interpreting the law to be a little more broader, and so it's going to be on one of these items that within the next year after adoption, you'll see some kind of development code amendment that will incorporate those requests or requirements, I should say.
Thank you for that. And then one other question is, I noticed that we still have to complete CEQA as part of this, but that happens after we get the comments back from the state, and the timing is still going to work in our favor in order to have this completed by the end of June?
Good question. We are preparing the administrative draft initial study negative declaration right now. We should have it to the city for review by the end of this week, and then it will go through the 30-day process of review. So, yes, we expect everything to be finished in time for the adoption hearing together.
Okay. And so it does end up being a neg dec, not a categorical exemption?
Generally, categorical exemptions aren't acceptable for a general plan element.
Okay.
And I believe we went with the initial study based on your RFP. Yeah,
I can't tell you why the state doesn't just exempt housing elements from the CEQA process, but they have not. So we go through the process of preparing initial study and most likely, again, a negative declaration, not a mitigated neg dec.
Okay.
I'll just add, it's an unusual process because, you know, tonight you're really not adopting a document. You're just directing staff to forward it to HCD. The comments that come back, if they're very minor, we will go through this whole exercise again of a public hearing, the Planning Commission reviewing the initial study draft negative dec, making a recommendation to you. It could be very ceremonial when we come back to you next time if there were not a lot of significant changes. So,
are you finished? Councilmember Nichols had a question too.
Under Section 2.3 programs, I note that in your staff report you indicated that there are some new programs required by the Housing Department and modifications to others which have been shaded for easy reference. And in going through that section, programs, about 80% of it is shaded. Are those new or just modified? Is most of it just modifications or is most of it new? Just out of curiosity.
What used to be low moderate income housing fund, which doesn't exist
okay.
anymore. So
good.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
That's all I have.
Any other questions? I have a lot of questions. I'll get started here. I have to find the first one. I noticed that you referred to, in the report, it refers to almost around 30% of our citizens having a disability. And that seems like a hugely high number, and I wondered if that's consistent with the council or if that was some of those statistics that were perhaps less reliable. Let's see if I can find where it is.
Those numbers are from Census 2000, actually. We don't have reliable data for any more recent numbers for disabilities. Census 2010 did not take as much of a sample for that data set. We did talk about that number during the drafting of the housing element and double-checked it, and that is the number that the census has for Grover Beach. That does include any type of disability, so keep in mind that that could include any disability that someone might have due to old age. It's not just folks who have something that prevents them from working or more seriously debilitating disability. So generally when I see those numbers, I remind myself of that a lot of us will be in that category at some point because of eyesight or hearing, things like that.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered if Grover was unique in that or if that's a fairly standard number.
Generally it's at least, I've seen usually at least 15% and oftentimes in the 20s or 30s.
Okay. So it sounds like we're a little on the high side.
A little bit, yeah. And I'm not sure if we can point to any one thing for that.
But if that's a census, isn't that subjective? It's the person filling out the census is calling themselves disabled.
Yes, and it is self-assessed.
Okay, we won't go there. Okay. On page 61, mobile homes and mobile home parks, these were just clarification, but it refers to unless they exceed 15 feet. And I think you mean 15 feet in height, but since mobile homes are often measured by length or width, I'm wondering if that can be clarified better.
Yeah, that's the standard language.
Oh, is it? Because the area where we've said by rights there can be a shelter is in a business district, I'm wondering if we should talk about them possibly being shielded from commercial or business uses, industrial uses as well.
This is an adopted policy in the development code, and I think, as Amy indicated, we have to bring that back to the council to make the adjustment on the distance from another shelter. That would probably be the time that all of these standards could be discussed as well.
Okay.
In other words, if we were to make a modification now, we'd have an inconsistency in the housing element from the development code. So
when does all that come back then?
Well, the HCD gives us 1 year to bring back and adopt these requirements.
Okay. So the next time we consider this, that's something we could look at.
Correct.
Okay. So could you just make a note of that so I don't have to carry this around on my desk for months? And then the other one, on page 63, it mentions under high occupancy residential uses that the parking of two vehicles is allowed within the required front setback. And from my recollection, we don't ever let anybody park in any setback. Am I just recollecting it wrong?
When we updated the development code, I don't believe we really made any modifications to this section. It's a carryover from years ago. And I can't recall if we've ever had an application. I'm not aware of any application we've ever had for a high occupancy residential use.
Okay.
I think it's just an exception. I think the intent was trying to provide maximize the amount of parking on site, and so a previous council gave some flexibility in allowing parking spaces. I would take this as in front of a garage to be able to count as additional parking.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. And then on, under mixed use on page 65, the paragraphs at the bottom, the third one up, at the very last sentence, says that in these areas you don't require a use permit in all commercial zones. I just wonder why is there no requirement for use permit for live work in some and there isn't in others. Now maybe that's just getting too much into the whole code thing, but it seemed to me odd that CVS zones. Was that just a decision we made?
No. I think I have to go back and double check. It may be that they certainly are allowed in those.
Put it on your list.
We will double check and okay. Correct it.
If it's wrong, yeah.
I will add that as you all saw in this entire Chapter 5 discussion, it got very convoluted because currently we're operating under two codes, mm-hmm. development code right. for non-coastal right. and zoning code for coastal. And so because it hasn't been formally adopted, we had to go through and compare both. And it was a bit cumbersome, to say the least. So we'll check for the accuracy and make any changes. I would consider those non-substantive.
Thank you. And here's another one that I felt might be some clarity with one more word. Page 67 under the bullet points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The eighth bullet point, in zones where the residential portion is limited to a specific percentage of the total project, the percentage may be increased up to 50%. And I'm having trouble understanding is you can increase the lot coverage up to 50% or you can increase the percentage that's there by 50%. And so if I were coming in to build something, I wouldn't have a clue what this meant. I just wondered if there's a way of making that a little more clear.
Again, I am afraid that this is a direct quote from our existing zoning code. So okay. We'll double check if that's not the exact language.
Yeah, I'm not so much worried about that. I just want people who are reading this to understand what it is we're allowing and not allowing. Thank you.
Okay, good comment.
Thanks. Okay, I'm almost done here. On page 83, 1.1.3, the last sentence above responsibility, second to last sentence, the city shall actively contact property owners and developers to promote lot consolidations. And I know we say we've mostly done that and we're going to continue it. I think you did it for a while. Are we really actively doing that?
Two things. Obviously, when people come to the counter and they're talking about potential development, we raise all potential options, and this is certainly a good option that we provide. Second, I'm in the process right now, for example, with meeting with the housing developers and housing advocates and, again, making them aware of this so that they know that there's some options available to them as well. So that's basically it. And I think that's why we kind of modified the language here. I mean, okay. It's not something that you would normally distribute to the general public. I mean, this
right.
has a certain target audience, and we want to target just that audience and not everybody.
Okay.
The revised policy, it will have a revised date.
Okay. Really, just two more now. Page 93, under status effectiveness, the bottom one, 4.6.2, the middle column, it's saying that the information has been published and it is available at City Hall, and you can't post it at the post office because there's nowhere to do it there. Can we post it online? I just wanted to make sure that we get some of these things online.
Yes. I mean, from staff's perspective, that is the preferred. Here at City Hall and on our website, we believe are the easiest and best ways of disseminating information. And we did change that on a couple other policies as well so that it
okay.
was more practical of an implementation.
Okay, thank you. I want to just make sure that people come develop here and they can do it with as little hassle as possible. So,
I think we
thanks.
All agree that the website, yeah. even if someone hasn't accessed it, it's easy to refer them to them or send a link of that information to them. So
yeah.
we prefer it as well.
Great. And I believe this is the final one or the final two related to this, no. On page 98, we're deleting 6.1.1, which talks about vacating right-of-way. And as I recall, our public works director had mentioned when we were talking about what we're going to do about our streets, that one option may be doing that sometimes. Have we looked at that and it really, truly ruled it out?
Well, related to housing, I think that the idea behind this policy was that if we were going to vacate property, it could increase density. That, we believe, is not true. Vacating streets for other reasons, certainly something that the council can still adopt as a policy.
Okay.
We're just removing it from a housing-related policy.
Okay. So it's really not enough in most cases to create enough additional land to do a separate unit?
Yeah, we have looked at that. And, you know, if you've got a 50-foot frontage, it's just not significant enough to boost the density.
Okay. Thank you. And on page 100, 7.1.3 talks about the option of a parking district. And I don't remember what a parking district is. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Where property owners or business owners, I guess property owners, would pay into a district in order for the city to create parking. At one point, the city did have that. I think that's how the parking was created over behind the post office. Mm-hmm. So they can be, you know, geographically specific. It could be something.
Yes.
Or a motion. And
further discussion, I'll make a motion that we direct staff to incorporate the revisions recommended by the Planning Commission and as noted here and submit the draft housing element to the HCD for review.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion from Mayor Pro Tem Lee and a second from Council Member Bright. And it looks like, do we need a roll call or?
Voice vote is fine.
Voice vote, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None? Okay, we are in unanimous agreement. So the fourth public hearing we have tonight is to receive public input regarding the setting of goals and a work program for the fiscal year 15 budget. And City Manager Perrault is going to present this one.
Yes, Madam Mayor, members of the council. First of all, this is probably one of the most important steps that the council will need to take during the budget implementation. It really is the adoption of the Goals and Work Program as a product ends up providing direction to staff in terms of the final development of the budget and is used as guidance. Once the work program and work task has been set up, it throughout the year, as you know, we'll end up bringing back progress reports. This is a public hearing, but one of the things I'd like to suggest is that we make this as interactive as we possibly can. Obviously, unfortunately, to some degree, we're not overwhelmed by a great audience, so maybe that gives us the opportunity to do this in a relatively interactive fashion, more like a workshop, if you will. But by way of background, first of all, I do want to point out that the that you have one supplemental attachment has been distributed. And unfortunately, when we did the paper copies of the Goals and Work Program for the FY14 status report, page 2 was omitted. And so I've distributed page 2 along with the rest of the document. Page 2 really had on it the 1B financing and funding goal, as well as number two, the streets goal, which is also very important by each department. And finally, what I've also distributed is the basically the budget outlook report that I did a couple of weeks ago that outlines essentially what the constraints are that we're dealing with. As you approach this, what I'm hoping that you will do is, first of all, take a look at the status report itself. Please note that where tasks have been specifically completed, we've so noted. Also, we've indicated where work in progress is underway and timeframes in some cases had to be adjusted for a variety of reasons. Some of them was just that the particular task was taking longer to accomplish than we had anticipated. In other cases, there were items that were a little bit out of our scope of control and required a date adjustment, and still others were really workload related. Relative to workload itself, I summarized on page 2 of the staff report a summary of what staff sees as some of the essential work projects that we're going to have to carry on through the next year. I want you to be aware that some of these relate directly to the adopted goals and work program, as you can see, but others do not. Some of the items on this list correspond to state requirements. For instance, the housing element, to give you an example, is a state requirement that we're that we must complete. Stormwater is a program that we're in the midst of implementing. Several of these items are just of that nature. Also, in terms of, so finally, in terms of approach, what I'm going to suggest you do, as I've said, take a look at the work program, its status, and then what I would suggest, you have a list of overarching goals. And I would suggest that you take a look at those overarching goals and determine whether those are sufficient to meet your needs as we go forward through this budget year. And then what we'll do is build the work program, hopefully right before your eyes, because I've got my trusty assistant over there, Director Petker, who's going to be my listening to what we have to say. Initiatives will require a certain amount of focus of the staff and the council as we go through the next year. Those items include the facilitation of the Grover Beach Lodge project, the facilitation of the Holiday Inn project on El Camino, the state the street rehabilitation financing measure. As you'll recall, we're looking at a general obligation financing measure being placed on the ballot in November. Also, the council is making progress in considering placing a charter measure on the ballot during the same time frame. So that will take up a certain amount of effort. The broadband network is, you know, nearing completion in terms of its contractual negotiation. We should have those contracts back before the council to review within the next 45 days or so. But that's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of getting that project actually underway. And one of the things that is committed to is the economic development strategy that essentially is being funded by the CDBG program, and that's a good thing, but it's probably going to take us a period of time to interface with the community, involve the community as a whole, and get through that process. So there are six major initiatives. If you look at what we have on their plate, obviously there's a lot of work to be done. My suggestion is that the council take the time and work with staff in developing a work plan that will address already the items that we have on our radar screen presently, and perhaps avoid anything else, especially reflecting the fact that we're really dealing with some tough budget constraints. So, and what I'm going to suggest is that we go through kind of this interactive approach, if you will, in developing a draft work plan. You can open it up for general comments from the public at any point. My suggestion is you're not going to end up with a final product tonight, but what I expect will come out of this is the guidance that we need. We'll tweak it a bit.
Oh, and helpful. And what I thought we could do tonight is open for public comment at the end so that the public have a chance to hear what we're saying and talking about, and also perhaps a chance to see who some of the department directors are, and then give us their two bits or more if they have more. But I would like to start with the normal process of just if you all have any questions, and then we can move to decisions or deliberating. Well, not decisions, just deliberating.
I have it's more of a philosophical thought, and I don't know if it's appropriate now or appropriate in the latter part of the discussion. But from your perspective, Bob, the goals and work programs, would you see if I can say it correctly? It sounded so good in my head earlier. So there's an optimistic approach versus a realistic approach on the goals and the objectives. And going through what we've already accomplished, there's some level of optimism and there's some level of realism as to what we can accomplish. Do we need to differentiate between the two? Or is there a way to differentiate between the two? Because obviously last year, Public Works Department got effectively overrun by the stormwater program. Yeah. And so that delayed a whole series of realism approaches versus optimistic approach.
Well, one of the reasons that I did contain that list of summary projects, if you will, is essentially to say that's what we've got on our plate currently. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the council will have to consider workload. And, you know, staff will try and provide guidance. We know that stormwater is going to continue to be with us, among other things. And, you know, there are certain items on that list that are just plain required to be done, and there are time frames associated with them. And that's really going to have to be sort of a guidance, if you will, in terms of identifying what's reality.
I have a question along those lines too. So when you've set dates to some of these things, have you done that with regard to which are the things that we must do because of grant requirement?
You know, actually it wouldn't take long, and with the help of some staff, I'd probably be able to identify that. When I did the workload
that anybody on the council would like to make on our priorities, our priority list.
You know, Madam Mayor,
yeah.
if we could just take a look at the work tasks on that second page, just so it's quite clear, what items are required to be done, and the time frames that we know of. And what I'm going to do is give you, and I'll ask if department heads have any clarification. Okay. But those are the ones that are required of us that we already know. For instance, the train station expansion design has to be done. And it's grants. That design is actually time sensitive. And I believe if you look at where it's listed in the status report, there's a date given,
right.
And that date given is essentially what we need to live by there. The other things that are relatively time sensitive is the CDBG project implementation. Reality is we need to get the waterline project underway within this next fiscal year, and we need to get the majority of those of that expenditure made by essentially the spring of next year. The reason for that is you're not allowed to compete for the next cycle unless you've made significant progress on the dollars that you already have. So the CDBG has got a time frame that's running with it. The West Grand Avenue Phase 3, We're under a deadline there. Actually, the deadline there is sooner than the current fiscal year. I mean, in the next fiscal year, we have to make the CTC agenda by June in order of this year, in order to keep that project on track. Obviously, the November election, you've got a couple of measures that you're contemplating. Those will be driven deadlines to submit the material to the county clerk. You also have to provide the time frame for arguments on argument development on both sides of the issue. So that will take up most of July and August, if you will. The other items on here, there may have been something that I've overlooked, but those are some of the key. Stormwater is going to continue to be a major issue for us. I would expect that we will, before the end of the fiscal year, we'll probably have the new permit online, but it'll take us the full year next year to implement the best practices that we're required to implement in order to carry out that particular program. And I just, the only other thing I'll call attention to you is, you know, we have obviously the lodge projects, all of those, they may not have drop dead dates, but they're certainly important because they're economic development related. And I'd be remiss if I didn't at least tell you that the parks, at some point, Park and Rec Commission would like to see some progress made on the parks facility. So those are that's not everything on here, but that's a lot as what I see as possibly being on that plate.
Thank you. That helps focus our thinking. So moving to the our goals.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
City Manager Bob, with reference to Cleaver Park, are you talking about the development? Are you referring to the development of the master plan?
Yes. And, you know, I'm aware that there is a suggestion coming in to develop that in terms of the first phase, and that's really what I'm talking about.
Okay. I don't know that that's something that we should consider on this priority list based on where we're at with that project. And just to bring has agreed to put up $5,000 to $7,000 to pay for it, which is the estimate from David Foote, the putting in this, what I will call a pocket park, to get things started, what the plan is. And all of this will come before the council for approval. But I just want to bring you up to date because I don't think it's something that we should consider as a priority because it's moving along and we've got the money for it. The plans are being drawn up for it. It'll be a simple process that I don't think should fit into this list.
Madam Mayor, the only reason I listed it is it is a potential consumer of staff time once it reaches the council level.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
And you expect this to happen this year? I mean, in the fiscal year?
Pardon?
You expect it to happen in the next fiscal year?
Oh, yeah.
Then I think it should be on the list.
We expect to have it done sooner than that.
Before June 30th of this year?
No, it won't be done before then.
Okay.
The plans for the construction drawings should be back within, I would guess, 3 weeks at the most. We hope to have them by that time. At that time, we'll then ask for bids from two or three different contractors. We already have one lined up that will probably put in a low bid, and this does not have to go out with an RFP. So it'll probably be just a matter of getting him to take a look at the construction plans and agree to do it. Clifford puts up the money and goes to work.
That's probably more information than we should ever have.
Well, the issue is how much staff time.
Yeah.
And that's the only issue.
And it's going to be after June 30th, so
right.
I think it should probably be on the list if we're talking about going forward with that. So anyway, all right.
Okay.
I'll leave that alone.
So starting with economic vitality, develop a strong, vital municipal organization empowered to maximize current and future resources and to work with its partners to deliver quality services to its citizens and improve infrastructure. Are there any changes to the overarching economic vitality goal there? Okay, I'm hearing nothing there. Let's go, I don't know that we need to read through all of this. It would take us forever. But are there any thoughts or suggestions or feedback on any of the things under the economic vitality heading?
The broadband network.
Uh-huh. That's, yeah.
Bullet item, well, I guess that is a bullet item. The arrow item number 2, complete instant.
I think that, you know, ultimately, by the time the council sees the contract, the funding has to be identified.
Okay, so
and the
we're
council
good.
Will have to make a decision regarding that. And I don't think that necessarily needs to be a separate separate point.
And we'll be doing that probably this fiscal year?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's still what the plan is. Installation would take place, this is in estimate at this point. It mm-hmm. could be a little bit longer depending on when that contract is actually approved.
Okay.
And, you know, the important thing to remember there is that it will be a public bidding process, so it will take a bit of time.
I had a question on the broadband network. I know that City Manager and I met with Digital West to go over a marketing plan. Are you not including the marketing plan because they're going to do most of the implementation? Or
no, if you look at the implementation, it's still carried out as establish a marketing plan that, in essence, will still need to be brought back along with the contract for the council to review. I've listed it as July 1st because I think that the marketing is one of the first things that you're going to want to do, and you'll want to have that in place about the same time that the installation is being done.
So I wasn't clear on my question. It says within the area, so that's going to be marketing to our local businesses.
It should also say it should be beyond the area,
right.
Within the market, let's
yeah,
say.
Yeah, right. Okay.
The larger
locally
market.
And further afield, because they're really different objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So in the same category, economic development, it seems like the Holiday Inn project facilitation should fall in here.
We can add the Holiday Inn project facilitation under economic vitality as well, Kathy.
Towards that end, what's what facilitation, and I know it'll be staff time, but is there any facilitation by the council that's necessary?
Yes, there. There will be essentially where we're at with that is we had been working with the city of Pismo Beach in terms of trying to facilitate, if you'll recall, the water utility connection, you know, and that is
it there already? Did I miss that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Too obvious.
I think it is important as you go through this and you're building your work program, it should be restated,
mm-hmm.
Because it appears here and it's not quite done yet, mm-hmm. it still needs to be restated, and I probably need to hear that that's what the council wants to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to belabor things, but obviously, it's an expression that this is your priority. So, items that need to probably be continued would be the facilitation of the lodge and conference center, the hotel project,
mm-hmm.
and the broadband, mm-hmm. the continuation of all three of those.
Can I jump in on
that same
page? We've got the last bullet on that page is maintain the existing marketing program, da 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 da, and then the first arrow is support Saver, Stone Soup, Dune Run Run, Train Day, and car-free events. I know Grover Beach United has been moving forward with a Grover Beach National or a car show that they're looking to put on in September. They haven't expressed or haven't come forward and asked for any financial support, but do we want to put it in here for some level of at least city support from either outreach? And doesn't have to necessarily specifically say financial, but some level of effort, since their stated goal for the event is to try and return some monies to the city for road improvements. So I don't know if we want to add something to that last item. Of course, that's an additional event that
we said we would do, but that's right. Yeah. But exactly. we're doing it. So, well, and I had another question on that because it says it's completed, and I know it's completed for this year, but it is an ongoing thing that Parks and Rec do. This as part of their ongoing workload to do Stone Soup, Dune Run Run, Train Day, and car-free events.
My suggestion would be that if the council desires is that be kept rather than, you know, event specific, that the council will continue to support both local and
right.
Mm-hmm. Regional events.
Yeah.
And that gives you some
specifics. But we don't have our summer concert series, so I guess that would be probably be further on under Parks and Rec. But specifically, I mean, I know the city kind of underwrites some of that, and we get sponsorships and so forth, but we've got staff time that's associated with that. So if we're getting away from specifics, then we don't include it. If we're staying into specifics, we either put it here or in the Parks and Rec area. That probably didn't help anybody.
No, I think that was good advice. We're all going, yeah.
Yeah, we're saying yeah.
I had a question about the continue to seek funding for the repair of Oak Park Boulevard completed. Is that don't we still need some?
Well, no, that's been programmed.
Okay.
The reality is that it's been identified, the programming's been identified. The actual receipt of the grant funding will depend in part on how we pursue that through the project, through the planning process.
Okay. So you don't feel that needs to be up here?
Right.
Okay. All righty. I wanted to suggest that we put in the intent to investigate. When we talk about the two things, install shadow conduit as a part of all major infrastructure projects where feasible and practical, and complete final design for the undergrounding of utilities on West Grand Avenue. And then we've also got streets here somewhere. I'm wondering if we could make it part of our goal whenever we're undergrounding, but when we're doing fiber optic, when we're doing streets, when we're doing undergrounding, to try as much as possible to coordinate those so that it saves money.
You've jumped on to streets and utilities and infrastructure.
I have, yeah. Because
do we want to finish?
Well, no, the reason I jumped is because we've got install shadow conduit and continue, and we're talking about water systems and we're talking about, I don't know that it needs to be in this part. It's probably a public works thing, priority, but I just wanted to raise that
actually,
one.
Actually, Madam Mayor, if I could, that's part of the new attachment.
Is it? Yeah.
Yes. It's actually under streets, utilities, and infrastructure.
Okay, well, then I'll worry about that when we get to it. Anything else on this section, then?
Oh, hence the missing page.
Yes.
I understand now.
Yeah, that's page. So we need looking at page 2. Where it starts with strengthen the city's economic base.
Center economic development, we've got the Lodge, the Holiday Inn, local events.
Important, perhaps, economic development item, believe it or not, is going to be pursuing the long-term solution to the streets.
Yes.
Yep.
Obviously, if you get the streets updated, that's going to be a tremendous pickup for the city's economic development. It doesn't need to be listed here, probably fits better under the streets, but there are sometimes items that you're going to identify that are important and they'll touch on a couple of different areas.
I think it's important enough we ought to put it under each one of the categories.
I think so, too.
Economic
vitality, financing and funding, street utilities and infrastructure. I see nothing wrong with having it in all three of them.
Can we just make it a heading? Streets. Okay.
I was thinking about that myself. You know, I'm thinking, why are the streets not there? I mean, because it really is so vital to our economic development. But now I see what you're saying, that, you know, because it does play in many different areas here. But you were saying that we really need to restate what's important to us. And
right.
I think not only is that important to this council, but it's important to all the people who live here and work here and own businesses as well. So
maybe we make it 1C rather than 2.
Yeah.
Well, seriously.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Or do we make it the top bullet above the move the Grover Beach Lodge through the pre-construction process? So economic development and funding for streets.
I think we had it there this time last year, and we moved it all over into streets because it seemed to fit better.
Did we?
Well, I do remember moving things around a little bit.
We
did. I couldn't tell you exactly what it was.
Boy, I can't remember that.
I mean, I don't think we've... This isn't organized such that it has importance or any sort of ranking criteria. It is, everything in here is equally important is the way I understand it.
Yeah.
Whether we shift it up or down, I think is not as critical as that it's there.
Okay. Well, I guess we shouldn't really get into semantics here, I suppose, and fuss around what's going, you know.
Yeah. And it's, but, and we've got the lodges.
I'm good with that, I guess.
So going back more into the weeds of the specifics on 1B, the financing and funding, you've got completed under the long-term street rehabilitation for financing options. So that's effectively going to roll over into next year, though, as we
actually, it would become a implementation measure.
Right.
So are you saying we're taking it out of this section, or no?
No, I think it would stay here. Change
we're
review
just
to
right.
Implement.
Do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So do we want to talk about the business tax certificate program and the delay in that at all?
I'm suggesting that given the fact that you're going to be potentially working on the general obligation bond issue and possibly the charter, there really isn't going to be any time left over for the business tax certificate program. That would be an expectation that we wouldn't expect to happen.
And it needs to be a ballot measure, and I think we have enough
right.
going on there.
We sure do. I agree with you there.
So may let's I, take that one out.
Mayor, please may I please review? Was this the implementation of the financing options under 1B?
Yes.
Oh. No, that's fine. You got there faster. Yes. Yeah, is that where we
that's
are with
correct,
that?
Yes.
Okay.
For the long-term street rehabilitation program.
First yes. bullet, second arrow.
Yeah, second arrow.
Working on the financing and funding and the streets, we've been talking to date about having two possible things on the ballot, the charter and the streets. And it's premature probably to say not to do either one of them until we get back our feedback on the polling. But I'm thinking that given we've got, these are huge projects and they're all coming to fruition. And we've got about half the number of staff of any other town in the county, and I'm thinking that we want to do what we do well, and I don't want to have any of us overwhelmed. So I'm wondering if perhaps we should say we'll probably do, and we can only say that. It just occurred to me that one thing that's not in here is finding some kind of a resolution for the current concerns about the vagrants in the park. Is that something that should be on this list somewhere?
It could.
I'm not trying to add things. We're doing it anyway, aren't we?
And that's maybe something that the police chief would weigh in on. You have a section here on public safety. Yeah.
Okay. I'll add it in there. So that's a good point, though. I've taken us off track a little bit here. Was there anything else on 1A or 1B that folks wanted to address?
And again, this is more of an overarching question, and that it's not intended to make more work for staff. Realizing that, again, we're about to undertake a lot of goals that we're trying to accomplish with very limited staff, do you have a sense of, like, a labor analysis as to either how short we are? I mean, if you basically create a matrix of hours, I mean, do we back into this from a standpoint of, okay, we've got X number of people, X number of hours, and this is what we can accomplish?
So, well,
and maybe this isn't the spot for that.
You know, at some point, let me give you a suggestion of another process that I took a city through that seemed to work. I don't think the timing is right for it this year, but possibly next year might be appropriate. Essentially, what we did is, with the council's direction, we came up with a model of what we thought, from staff's perspective, of what a fully funded city of this size should look like in terms of the services that were being provided and at what level. And, you know, what we were able to come up with as a result of that product is a target level as to what kind of budget do we really need to make this whole thing work. And, you know, the department heads were very good about it. They didn't develop Cadillacs that they wanted to put on the street, but it was realistified answer that I can give you that says, you know, if you look at this work program, but what we can do, keeping in mind that we're trying to be realistic here, one of the things I can come back with as part of this is guiding the budget presentation. We take a look at the goals and work plan. We can assign at least what it's going to take to get this done in some ways. And we come back and recommend a budget that will make it work. And if it's going to exceed our revenue figures, you're going to have to be cutting back. And that may be that ultimately when you end up, you know, you may end up with some more goals and work plan, work tasks falling off simply because you have your financial constraints, which you still need to deal with. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, from that perspective, this becomes a foundational year.
Yes,
we know the elements in 1A and 1B have to be done no matter what. Moving forward, we need to get a resolution on some of these issues so we can build upon them for the next couple years.
Right.
Okay.
Good. Well said. So, any other comments on 1A or 1B before we move on to streets, utilities, and infrastructure? We can always come back to it, too, if we find there's something mm-hmm. on the list that we didn't slot in anywhere. So for streets, utilities, and infrastructure, the goal is to develop and maintain a modern street and infrastructure system that will provide for the safe and continuous movement of traffic and anticipates future demands for water distribution, wastewater, and stormwater collection and drainage. We've got some that are completed here.
You know, what I would suggest is, again, and using some of what the council has said, is that the long-term street rehabilitation program, its implementation is significant.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to restate that here as an implementation measure. Mm-hmm. The other thing we have to think about is yes, right now we're looking at a general obligation bond measure. You know, the polling may turn out differently for you, and you may have to rethink when you know that it necessarily needs to be stated. You know, trying to simplify things and get them to a point where they're more manageable. Mm-hmm. That will still, the Oak Park project itself will still appear in a in the CIP. So it's still going to move forward, but does not necessarily need to be called out as a specific task, per se.
And I guess I have one of those philosophical questions again. Realizing that SLOCOG and the other funding sources are really looking for the city to drive the bus, so to speak, down Oak Park Boulevard, do we need to keep it as a focus just so that they don't think that we've lost focus on it? Realizing that we as a city won't lose focus on it, but this is something that we can point to and say, yes, we're still moving forward on it.
Well, you know, as I've stated, it will be in the CIP, mm-hmm. and one of those items that will, there are several tasks. You have to, within the work plan, realistically, the goals in the work plan should identify the main goals and the main tasks that are necessary to implement those goals. It doesn't have to be every task that you're going to have to accomplish, because there'll be other places in the budget, CIP, et cetera, where those will be called out. I would think in this case, listing it in the CIP should be sufficient.
Okay. Same thought on the train station, or does the train station need to come up into a bullet?
Train station probably needs to stay as a bullet.
It's a new project.
Yeah, exactly, because it's not a bullet now, is it? Or did I miss it?
I thought that it was under transportation prod.
Oh, is it a different spot?
It's different
pages. Oh, there
it
is, under transportation. Right. Okay. Yep. Sorry. I put it under the wrong spot.
Okay.
And, you know, when we get to it, I may suggest that you may want to combine transportation and streets while we're dealing with it, because that's really where you want to focus. Mm-hmm. You know, I would put move the train station expansion to the streets and facilities, and maybe delete number 6 as a goal per se.
And if I recall from last year, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think
we just do that. Let's shift the train station up to.
Eliminate 6 altogether?
Eliminate 6, yeah.
Train station would go to number 2, eliminate
okay.
number 6.
Do you want to rename 2, remove streets, and replace it with transportation? So transportation, utilities, and infrastructure? Or just leave it streets because that's the more prominent task that we...
I would suggest streets, transportation, utilities, and infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That tells the story.
Planes, trains, and automobiles probably doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah. So under that, then, I would like to make sure that I think that's where it goes, that we... When we're talking about undergrounding electricity, when we're talking about fiber optic, and when we're talking about streets, that where possible, that we do those, that we coordinate those, that we consider coordinating those. Sometimes you simply can't, but if you consider it, there may be times where there would be savings or better infrastructure as a result.
That's the shadow conduit you were talking
the
about?
The shadow conduit, yeah.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is I know they're all in there. But if you put in the shadow conduit, and then the next year you dig up the street, and then the next to underground the electricity, and then the next year you rebuild the street, it's not it's 3 times the work, not quite. But
you know, Kathy, maybe what we can do there is indicate in a bullet statement that staff will combine infrastructure installation to include conduit and actually, it should be almost
the
everything.
Water too.
Water,
yeah, all
and,
four.
Undergrounding, whenever possible, just is kind of a ongoing statement.
Dig once, not four
yeah, there
times.
You go.
Dig one time.
Dig once.
Where possible and practical.
And going towards that, I think that is in our general plan overall as well. I'm not sure specifically where it is, but I mean, I seem to recall that as a perspective in there as well.
It's something that we worked with as the planning commission and has been ongoing through certain.
Page three.
There we are. Yeah.
It's under the water system.
Continue to maintain a water sewer system. Water it should water. Say probably sewer and wastewater and water systems that comply yeah. and leave that statement in there. You would not have any update the stormwater ordinance because that's already been
right.
done.
Any other thoughts on two?
No, I think that's pretty good.
Okay, so then we're moving to public safety, police department, and the Five Cities Fire JPA. The goal is to maintain a safe community by providing well-trained and equipped public safety, emergency medical services, personnel, police, and fire. And the chief has been conservative again. We want to get to the full 19 officer complement, but right now we'd be happy to have 17.
I'm going to ask Jim, do you want to come up and talk about that a little bit in terms of where we are? I know that you would like to have the 19.
Nice.
Yes, our staff believes 19 would be probably one of the better numbers to target. However, fiscally, we know we can't do that. Currently, we have 16. One is still in training, so we really only have 15.
Yikes.
The 17th position that is allocated is still being held up in a personnel matter, so we haven't filled that one yet. So we're still waiting for that, and we do have some pending retirements for this next year. So that's kind of where our staffing is.
So I suppose what the chief is saying, that given those constraints, even though we'd like to have the 19, we'll probably be lucky if we're able to get the 17 this and maintain it this year.
So no changes.
So no changes. And I would like to mention we were authorized at 17th position last year with a target date of October 1st. It took us, we just hired that person a month ago. So it does take quite a bit of time to find somebody that we're happy with hiring. And, you know, so once we get that 17th position freed up, I think this next year, one way or the other, we'll be able to fill that, and we'll probably have a couple positions. Continue to do what we're going to do with that anyway. So if it's not the council, we know what the council's goal is. We'll keep our community safe. And it meets, what we're going to be doing is to meet that ultimate goal that we have here, is to maintain, you know, well-being for our neighborhoods and businesses. So that will be ongoing. We don't need a new goal to do that. Mm-hmm. But if when we're talking specifically with the vagrant or homeless issues, if the council wants to come up with a specific goal for that, we'd be more than happy to accommodate that. Your goals may be different than mine on trying to address that. You know, we've been holding a number of public meetings. We've got another one coming up May 7th. And so we're continuing with that process. We don't have a final direction, but just a real brief update is we're adding a lot of different tools and trying to address a lot of different avenues of it. You know, there's not just one avenue that's going to take care of the problem if it ever is going to be taken care of. So we address it a little bit more from a public safety point of view because that's the field I'm in. But there are a lot of social issues, a lot of different issues that the council may want to weigh in on that can be addressed or possibly addressed.
So don't go away yet, because I think we may have more questions for you. From my point of view, I think the public wants to know that we're making it a priority, and I believe they do know that. I hope they know that now. On the other hand, and then the other question is it going to be additional work, or is this part of your ongoing work? Because if it's, I mean, it is additional work, but do you know what I'm saying? Is it a new special project, or is it part of your heavy workload?
Yes. I mean, and it really depends on where we go with it. For example, anything that we add to will impact our staffing. So if we add any kind of program or anything that we do to establish something different, whether it's video surveillance or, you know, whatever the program ends up being, it will be additional work. But obviously this is a high priority for the community, and we'll make it happen.
Let me ask a question. So in 50 words or less, what would be your ideal not solution, but what would you like to see if we could give you a goal? What would you like to see?
I think 50 words or less.
Well,
I agree
51.
With the mayor. I believe the community needs to hear it from the council that the safety of the community.
Well, you know. Let me ask you this. Would you like to see, like, one officer dedicated to that mission?
Absolutely, if we could afford it.
Do you think that would be realistic, and do you think that that would be the best and highest use of that officer?
I don't think that would be realistic that we could fund that. To hire somebody and pull one of my other officers and dedicate them to that is not something that I believe our budget is realistically going to fund. If we could find money and we were, you know, as part of the budget process, it was a high enough goal of the council to fund overtime monies, then we might be able to do that. But to fund one position, I don't think would be feasible. And that's just one. That's from a. That would be more of an enforcement type of a role. You know, there's a lot of other facets to the problem.
Right, and I think you're absolutely right. So. But I think also just the visibility as well, you know, kind of, I know that helps alleviate a lot of the issues.
It does, and there's a lot that, and we had talked about in our staff, one of the tools we'd like to look at is to specifically designate one person somehow to be the transient vagrant liaison that would specifically deal with that issue. That would know all the players and, you know, handle all of the type of complaints and that type of thing. But it, you know, when we met with staff, it was like, you know, how are we going to do that? Because nobody wanted to part with their officer.
Sure.
You know, we can't short a patrol shift.
Right.
To be able to do that.
Okay, I can see it's going to be an issue, but.
Madam Mayor, if I could, you know, and I appreciate the discussion, but. You know, let me point out that the goal says maintain a safe community by providing well-trained and equipped public safety emergency medical services personnel, both police and fire. Realistically, with that statement, you're encompassing everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not certain that it would be a good idea to single out one particular part of the population that you're going to develop a goal with. It's a problem. Mm-hmm. Granted, there is a problem, but I think your goal statement is sufficient, and the direction from the council to ensure that the downtown and adjoining residential areas are safe.
It would be beneficial, and I've crafted some language and see if I go too far afield here. If anybody's wants to have a discussion on it, and I said to continue to work with and assist the community in an effort to address vagrant issues and homeless services impacts, and so it's
vagrancy. Yeah, good.
Vagrant issues.
Yeah.
Or vagrancy, and because it's effectively part of what the chief and his staff is already doing, but it kind of and says and assist the community in an effort. To kind of focus the community that the best that they're going to be, that the most effective use of your services is going to be in a partnership. They need to step up as a business community, and I think some folks are starting to step forward. But the city can't be, going back to the analogy of driving the bus, we can't solve it. It's going to be the communication, that partnership that was spoken of in the community meeting a couple weeks ago. So if we say assist the community, mm-hmm. at least it says, no, you need to step forward and at least meet us halfway. And so just
I like that. The only reason I said vagrancy rather than vagrant is because we don't want to single out one element. So if you say vagrancy, then it's not as personal as you say vagrants.
So I kind of like the generic approach, and I like the Mayor Pro Tem Lee was going, but I also like what Bob was saying, being a little bit more generic, because there's other issues that the community has, with speeders and whatnot, and so we could bullet point the heck out of this, but why don't we just go to public outreach? You know, we have a goal that our police department do what they've been doing with just public outreach to identify community concerns.
Community issues and concerns.
Yeah. Anyway, that's where I would.
You know, I understand, and if I could weigh in just a bit, I'm ultimately it's the council's decision and certainly not staff's. But the reality is that I understand that it's a very visible problem. But as Councilmember Marshall said, we have a number of issues. That throughout town, it's not saying that, and the department's doing a good job with dealing with the all of them, but the problem is I think we want to make sure that, you know, for instance, the department has its four sector program, the neighborhood program. You're going to want to make sure that those officers are out there in each of those neighborhoods in identifying issues and hopefully working to resolution. It's just a comment, and I'll leave it with that. It would seem that you want to encourage wherever possible the opportunity to assist the community in finding solutions, whether it's in the downtown or any particular neighborhood. I'm getting too verbose, but
well,
I apologize.
That was that. More than 50 words, Bob.
I'm going to jump in and say that I think that it's a critical part of economic development to address it, and these are one-year goals. This isn't goals for the next 5 or 10 years necessarily. This is 1 year, and for this year, I would still support letting the community know that this is important, and we want to work with you on it. So that I would still opt for stating it clearly, unless there's some other place to state it or some other way to state it clearly, or it's illegal,
no.
Or unsupportable, or unconstitutional.
It's none of those things. At least not as proposed. Madam Mayor and Council Members, one of the things to consider, and I'll throw it to the Chief, is whether or not identifying the issue specifically in your goals would assist in the event that circumstances provide an opportunity for adoption of some ordinances or some regulatory means to deal with how the issue is created. I don't have an easy answer to that, but I think that that's something that could be considered.
No, I think all points are well taken, and I think if we identify it or you identify it in the goals, it definitely it's a statement that it's well known that, and mm-hmm. it's not new. I mean, most people in the community know that we have a problem, you know, at least a perceived problem in Grover Beach for vagrancy. It's thankfully it doesn't mount to the problems that some of the other cities see, but we don't want to let it get there. And so identifying a goal is
fire. That's right. Do we want to put our money where
our
mouth is?
It's not to say that you can't. I mean,
right, we can still do it even if we don't say it.
But you know, when people see it in print and then they come in and say, and you said you were going to deal with this, mm-hmm. you know, or whatnot. So, I mean, it does put a little bit more teeth to it. If something does come forward, and at this point I don't have anything planned to come forward, but you know there are some options that came out of the community meeting that, mm-hmm. that may come forward down the road.
So going back to the city attorney, are you saying that should we need to draft some kind of an ordinance, it is actually more helpful in terms of making findings if we have actually stated it as a goal?
I think that identifying it as a an issue that rises to the level of this conversation will provide you the basis should you need to for taking the next step. In other words, this is a sufficient problem and the impacts of it. And again, this all has to be supported by actual findings and evidence. And if the issue rises to the level where it needs to be dealt with through ordinances or prohibitions, then you certainly have laid the groundwork for identifying as an issue and then moving forward with dealing with it. If you don't list it, that doesn't preclude mm-hmm. you from doing so. But it's another brick in the wall, for lack of a better word. It's just another foundational piece mm-hmm. that you may want to consider including. But all points are well taken. It has, as many things that you do, a edge on both sides. Mm-hmm. And it can work for you, but it can also hang over your head as if somebody wishes to swing it the other way.
Which is where I'm gonna.
That's what I like.
I personally like it being in here, for what the city attorney said, and also what the chief said with regards to the fact that it is partially going to hold our feet to the fire. But I think we can come up with some language where we can turn that back around, or staff can turn that back around and say, yes, this is what we're doing. We're helping you move forward. And so it can continue that conversation with regards to if someone comes forward and says, hey, I want to have a community meeting. Can you be there? And as long as it works with there, as long as the chief's not running all of those meetings, he's there to support what businesses or residential or blocks or are in an effort to make their own section safe.
And acknowledge that we're listening to what they have to say.
And this isn't necessarily the meeting to bring up all that was discussed or some of the ideas that came out of the meeting. There was some real overwhelming complaints, of different issues, specifically with Ramona Park. What are we going to do with that? That's when something will probably come back to council. What is the direction to do with that?
May I ask when will we ever get a list of the? I know that Lori and Duke were taking notes.
Yes. We got those today from them.
Oh, good.
Okay. So Commander Miller and I will be going through that probably this week, and we'll look and try and get a plan of action, what came out mostly from that. We'll more than likely the next step will be, coming to council for direction.
Great.
If we need direction on something. So,
Thank you.
And just where we're talking about, something coming before the council, some of the top few were how to deal with the vagrancy issues at the park. Are we going to have to govern different activities at the park, for example, feeding or panhandling or those type of things at the park? Is that something that council's going to want to go after and control through an ordinance, or if we possibly, depending on how that comes out? So that's just one of them.
Well, I think it is an issue, and as you said, Debbie, this is a goal and work program for 1 year. Mm-hmm. This seems to be a very important goal for this year mm-hmm. to our residents and to the community as a whole. I would support having some language that would address that issue in this year's or our next fiscal year's goal and work program.
And I think this is one we should take a vote on. Okay, if it's a voice vote, but because we've had some differences, so I'm just... is that a motion?
I'll make that a motion
on this particular item.
So do you want me to read back what I heard the goal was,
mm-hmm.
at least from a couple of the comments, was to work with and assist the community to address vagrancy issues and impacts. Sure. Is that what I heard, Jeff?
Mm. Slightly different, and maybe yours is better. I just said to continue to work with and assist the community in an effort to address vagrancy and homeless impacts. I don't know if that's better or slightly different, or if the chief's is better.
Madam Mayor, mm-hmm. I would leave it with vagrancy, if I could suggest.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
Sure. Yeah. Because that is the real
That's the issue. It's not
It's too specific.
Okay. So we have one opposed, and did you vote yes? I didn't hear you. Okay, so we have four in favor, and the opposed was Glenn. Glenn.
Can I get that one more time, please? No, it's good to not all agree on things.
And actually, Ms. Pitker is asking for the language, and I'll see if I get it correctly here. Continue to work with and assist the community in an effort to address bigger and see, was it issues or impacts?
Impacts.
Impacts.
Thanks. Did everybody agree?
Yeah. That.
That's all right. Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Yeah, also I would like to add under public safety, the other bullet would be that essentially the police department, it's an implementation measure,
yes,
will continue to maintain staffing at a minimum, mm-hmm, of 17 officers,
yes,
with a full allocation of 19.
Yeah, and that bullet's in here. We just lost it up there.
The other one, which we haven't, well, which it was completed, was our five city fire authorities additional long-term and stable funding source. And since that did not pass, we have an issue. Now, I don't know if this is just a budget issue, and you'll address it as we get to the budget, but to make that up is $300,000. And is that something we need to...
Well, I'm sure that, Madam Mayor, that this will be an issue, and Mr. Nichols, I'm sure, will be talking with the fire chief as where they go from here. I don't think it's something that we need to assume at this point is going to mean that there's going to be an immediate impact to our budget. I think we'll have to wait and see how the fire authority deals with it on their side.
Okay. Thank you.
There has been considerable amount of discussion regarding that point prior to, mm-hmm, the election, knowing that it may not pass. So there are discussions ongoing with reference to that, and I am going to be meeting with the chief to discuss that, and it will be a subject at our next board meeting.
Thank you. All right. So we have done... for the future of the city, balanced land uses, economic vitality, the creation of a wide range of housing opportunities, and improve the quality of life.
Sounds nice.
That's good. Wow.
If we could just do all that, it'd be great.
Any changes to this or additions to this or...
Madam Mayor, as, mm-hmm, you'll reflect, the status report on the sign ordinance will likely be initiated in the second quarter of the next fiscal year. Work on parking standards and planned unit development standards will be initiated upon the completion of the sign ordinance. Most likely, those efforts will be completed in FY16. Madam Mayor, could I ask the Community Development Director to come forward for a second? Yeah. So the sign ordinance will be the next item that we'll be working on, and that's likely to take us a good part of FY15 to, mm-hmm, accomplish.
I mean, we're going to come to the council with kind of an outline and scope so you can review that first. You know, depending on how comprehensive it is, it's just a more lengthy process if you're going to have workshops and try to get input from the community and the business community and so forth. So it's just one of those things that I think can be a longer process than normal. And one of the reasons also that it's been difficult to start is that the other items in the plate, some of them have to get completed, those other priority projects, because I'm just concerned that it's a project that if you start, then you have to be committed. Once you have that first workshop, you just can't say other things tied me up and we're going to push it off 6 months. It's got to be a process that you can gauge and do in a timely manner. So I think Bob's estimate is a good one on being a realistic start date.
Madam Mayor, what I would suggest with that understanding is that we leave these, this is for just this coming fiscal year, but you just leave these as they're currently presented. The thought being if by chance the sign ordinance is completed, there is a chance you might be able to start work on one or the other of the two remaining before the end of FY.
Just any of the dates and times. And my view is that you are the experts on what you can do and can't do. You have a much better handle on how long things take. So I'm inclined, except, you know, with saying what's more important, I'm inclined to say that we need you to advise us on this. Is the council in agreement with that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely.
So any questions of Community Development Director?
Of course, I have one or two.
Okay, please.
And so, thanks.
That's silly.
Exactly. Under the complete state mandated updates to the following documents, we've got the Climate Action Plan at 6/30/14. Is that the latest we can go?
No, you're under no obligation. The only delay after the commission made their recommendation was that the housing element had to move forward. We were delayed in getting the CDBG funding, and you know that's why we're on a super aggressive schedule, you know, obviously here tonight trying to get that certified by June 30th. So the reality is, though, now that kind of takes a back seat because we can send it off to HCD. So I would expect the Climate Action Plan is going to come forward in the second meeting in May.
Okay. I guess I was more curious as to whether we needed to complete it or if we should put the state mandated date in here so that if something does get it pushed again, that your priorities go to that versus this.
I think we have a responsibility that the commission made a recommendation needs to be brought forward to the council. It's a little more complicated under the circumstances, and we want to provide some other options to the council that we're working on.
Great. And then my second question actually has to do with the CDBG project implementation. I know we're going to talk about it under the consent calendar, but there is going to be some program administration that's going to be necessary. Is that so? Should that come into here because that does have a deadline?
You know, it's actually spread throughout here because the economic development strategy update is part of that funding. The waterline project, which is really the majority of that funding, will be through the Public Works Department. In those roles, community development, at least in that role, community development is more of a support. And there is going to be planning staff time spent on the implementation of that. But as you see on the consent calendar, we're also going to be hiring a consultant to do the majority of that work as well.
Okay. So it doesn't need to rise to the level of a bullet under here?
I don't believe so, no.
Madam Mayor,
yes.
With that, maybe we can, based on the fact the housing element should be completed by 6/30/14.
About, and that was coming forward with a plan for upgrades to city facilities. Where was that?
Was back a bit.
Yeah, that was infrastructure. Are we good? Were we all good with that? We didn't. Mm-hmm. Nobody said anything about it, so. Okay.
Actually, and just maybe a logistical question is we've done some upgrades to City Hall and to the parking lot and so forth. So is that sufficiently broad enough for staff to do what's next, or do we need to keep it here?
You know, I would suggest maintaining that because it's one of the items that staff has identified in the budget outlook. Mm-hmm. I think realistically, as we get to the budget process, you're going to end up having to balance a number of challenging issues. One of those is going to be, you know, adding in personnel compensation, facilities. All of those are going to need to be dealt with. For at this point in time, I would at least keep it on the list. The council and city staff, I think, have made a point of saying that we have to begin making progress somehow with facilities, and so I would suggest maintaining it where it is.
Okay.
Anything else on this? We've got partner with a nonprofit organization to develop an affordable housing project, and I know you have had some conversations there, so I guess we can move to Parks, Recreation, and Beautification then. The goal is to maintain existing park facilities and develop new park facilities that will contribute to improving the quality of life for residents and visitors to Grover Beach. Any comments on that one?
I'm encouraged to see that the city approved street tree list is going to come to us soon.
Yes.
And just, I only had one real thought about I know there's been some discussion about naming convention strategies and so forth at the Parks and Rec and Beautification Commission. I don't know if it needs to rise to the level here or if that's just going to come to us as a matter of when it does, but that was really my only comment here.
Madam Mayor,
yeah.
That will be coming to you, but I don't think it's anything that needs to be called out in terms of the work plan.
And there's one bullet here, increased use of online registration. And
I have a question, Madam Mayor, for Kathy, if I could.
Please,
Actually, Kathy, explore opportunities to partner with community organizations and locate community garden sites throughout the community. Essentially, you've helped facilitate the one at the Grover Beach Elementary. I guess the question is this, from your perspective, something that needs to be maintained as a work priority, or have we accomplished enough in that particular area?
Yeah, I think that at our staff level, we've met that goal because we were able to connect the partners with the nonprofit groups and the grant writer to accommodate a new community garden at the elementary school. We facilitated that. And then also the community can participate in the other community garden that's still ongoing on Brighton Avenue as well. So technically we do have two community gardens in our city. And I believe that that's an effort that's been met.
Mm-hmm. So was the community garden that you're mentioning, was that the edible garden that
Yes.
was talked about earlier? Okay, so it Yeah. is. The
so same. That truly is a community garden?
Yes, it's actually just at the school level right now. For it's during the daytime curriculum, mm-hmm. and then after school program with the
YMCA. So it is just for the school and the school program. It wouldn't be for right. members of the community.
Not yet.
Okay.
We're working on that. It's just been their first year, so
gotcha.
And
okay.
we have the master gardener who's working on that adult component.
Right. Yeah. I was just wanted to make that clear
yeah.
so folks didn't think they could go there and set up their garden
right.
tomorrow.
Right.
So if what I'm hearing the city manager say is we've met that goal, so we can take mm-hmm. it off this list
mm-hmm.
with the understanding that if someone comes forward
sure.
and says, hey, let's put a community garden here, we're going to
mm-hmm.
support it, but it's a goal that we've achieved, mm-hmm. but we're not going to turn away another community garden.
Right.
So,
sounds good.
So recommending cross that one off the list then
mm-hmm.
as completed.
Good.
Okay. Good work.
Okay. It looks like, is there anything else under Parks and Recreation? We know it's really critical to get some work done, but that's in other areas, I think.
Implementation
under
our
yeah.
matrix, correct.
Okay. All right.
So then, before we leave that item, sorry, we've mm-hmm. got the third bullet under Parks and Rec and Beautification as completed, which was update of the inventory.
Mm-hmm.
To upgrade facilities in general. It's really up to the council whether you want to specify something here as well.
I guess it goes back to the question that we were talking about earlier with it'll go into the CIP program
right.
and then we'll implement it from there. So it doesn't need to be here then. Is it?
Everybody, unless Kathy thinks it needs to be here.
If we want to add it as an implementation plan, but most of it will go into the CIP and the budgets for my budget and Public Works budget, so.
I think we can take it off then. Let's just simplify it. Right.
Okay.
So moving then to transportation, which we removed, so that means we're moving to public administration, which is the goal is to facilitate the implementation of the City Council's vision for the community through the effective and efficient use of city resources and personnel. So one issue is employee concessions, and we're working on that one. And the other one's the charter measure, and that one we're moving forward with.
Madam Mayor, what I would just suggest is that perhaps And this really is focused on the management department or division more than it is anything else. I would suggest that maybe we reiterate what our six major initiatives are, because they're all being coordinated out of this office,
okay,
more or less.
You mean our six goals?
Well, if you'll recall in my staff report, many mm-hmm. of them are goals. I counted out, there were six primary initiatives that we've taken on.
I think that's a good idea, yeah. And then I see there were a few in here that I don't recall having put anywhere, so I wanted to just double check these. Emergency management training was on the list, but we didn't put it anywhere.
And it depends on where you want to. Again, it would be something that would go under public safety. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Yeah. Are you all okay with moving that under public safety?
With the caveat, I guess, is that a state mandated emergency management training, or is that an effort to come back with either hazard training when time permits? So, and I'm saying that incorrectly.
The chief did, and if you want to come up, Jim, is he did outline exactly what the role was going to be in terms of council members and how to access more information relative to the council member role. I think what he indicated is that within the next year we would have essentially a live training session. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you wanted to make that a specific goal is really up to the council.
Yeah, as the city manager mentioned, there's actually two facets. One is making sure that everybody's up to speed in their training, which, you can make that a goal that council members have met that requirement through online training or otherwise, as well as staff. And the other is that we were planning on doing a tabletop exercise with the council to go mm-hmm. over the council roles and something like that. And we were going to try and get that done before the end of this fiscal year. So I don't, if you want to put it off and do it mm-hmm. next year, we can make that a goal. It's really up to you if you want to add that in there regarding your goals for emergency operations.
I think it depends that, the issues are staff time and what makes sense. Whether it even needs to be in here, it's not a huge project.
I can tell you it's a goal of ours, and we'd like to squeeze it in when we can. So, if we make it a goal, that's great. If not, we're still going to push forward to try and squeeze everything in to make sure that we're ready for an emergency situation.
I think that in the discussion that we've been having, I think that rises to the level of, it doesn't go on the list, but realizing that it's a work task.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. It falls under the overarching goal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. All righty. And then the other one was financial system upgrade or purchase.
Actually, that should probably be placed under financing and funding. It is something that we're going to have to deal with this coming year. It could be in either place, financing and funding.
Okay.
I really look to the administrative services director working with that a lot.
And then the November election falls under admin.
I'm sorry, what was the last one, the financing one?
Financial system upgrade or purchase.
That will be done. It's in the process of being implemented now. It will probably be implemented before the end of the fiscal year. So, again, it wouldn't rise to something you'd want to place here for next fiscal year.
And then there was continued implementation of short-term street rehab strategy. What did we do with that? I don't remember.
Well, realistically, mm-hmm. that will continue to, and it will take time, mm-hmm. but it will continue to be dealt with in the CIP.
Right, so we don't need to put that
right.
in here, okay, as a goal. All right. The only other thing that, and I don't think it is a goal, but it's a recognition thing. When I looked at the list of things that Public Works is doing, it was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. totally overwhelming. And what I realized is almost everything we decide to do ultimately ends up in that department, in public mm-hmm. works. You know, we want streets fixed, we want a hotel, we want a train station, we want this, we want that, and it all lands in one place. And I'm thinking that I hadn't put two and two together on that one. So this was a really useful exercise for me. And I'm wondering if, I don't think that changes our goals, but I think it might help us in terms of budgeting when we think about that, and personnel might be something we need to look at. Any other comments? So I was going to open it to public comment, but I think we scared our one member of the public away. He went home to bed. So sorry, sir. And I won't open it then. And we'll move on to the next item on our agenda.
Madam Mayor, just for as a point of mm-hmm. order, I recommend opening the public hearing since the item was noticed as a public hearing.
Okay. I'm going to open to the public. Do any of the three of you staff members wish to speak as a public? Okay. Staff don't want to come forward as members of the public, so we'll close public comment. And the next item is our consent agenda. It looks like we didn't have anything pulled, so if there... did I miss something?
No, I was going to actually ask for either we poll seven or I have a question or two.
Okay, so, why don't you ask your questions?
Okay.
We're there anyway, so.
Okay, sure. Just a couple questions, and I think, again, more logistical or philosophical, is I see the work scope or the approach that was brought forward by the as a result of the RFP had some labor compliance services in the budget, but not a real...
The Davis-Bacon Act and all of that, it is something we're going to need to...
It's a nightmare.
It was a self-leading question. I kind of knew the answer was going to be yes, but I wanted to make sure that we had it covered somewhere else.
Specifically, you're wanting to know?
I just want to make sure that it's... I know the amount... we'll start there and say what doesn't the city have in place for labor compliance that we're going to need to do in order to satisfy the CDBG funding requirements.
So it's not a matter of having procedures in place or following labor compliance requirements for ourselves. It's just that it's such a substantial workload when it comes to a project of this caliber, and also in meeting the reporting requirements for HUD in particular, with regard to CDBG. They require a lot higher reporting. We follow labor compliance laws regularly with all of our projects. Just they require a high level of reporting. So a consultant will be on board to address that regular reporting to HUD.
Okay. So, and I think that answers my question. I think I was thinking of other programs that have a specific labor compliance program that the city would need to do. CDBG doesn't have a specific policy.
The labor compliance for CDBG is not a lot different than the others, but it does have its own specific set of rules, primarily related to reporting.
Right.
The federal grants that we get have labor compliance rules. The reporting's slightly different. State grants have a different set of rules, but still a reporting is also slightly different. So.
Okay. And then all of that gets put into the plans and specs as they move forward, so that the contractor is required to do X, and then the city follows up and reviews X and then reports on it.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you. And then the only other question I've got with regards to that is, in the resolution, there's an authorization for the city to enter into a professional services agreement. This is the first page of the resolution, I think. With Adams Ashbury Group to provide general administration and labor compliance services for the CDBG program. I was wondering, do we need to or should we add in an amount not to exceed whatever the amount of their contract was, which is somewhere in here.
It's additional to the language of the contract, but that's up to the council if the council wishes to add that amount in.
So why do we need it any place else?
Yeah, if it's in the contract, then what more do we need?
The contract's not attached, so just making sure. So, but I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, I think that's a good question.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That government overruns are pretty common, mm-hmm. and so no, I don't have a problem with saying it. I guess if it's already binding in the contract, then it makes no difference. Is that what you're saying, City Attorney? Since it,
I don't think it changes anything if you put it in a resolution, but if resolution is your document, so if you desire to have it in there, you certainly can add it.
Put it in?
Okay. I can go either way on it.
Yeah, so it's the 127,200.
200,
correct.
Yeah.
So we'll add it to now, therefore be it resolved that City Council City Grover Beach does hereby authorize the city to enter into professional services agreements with Adams Ashby Group to provide general administration and labor compliance services for the CDBG program under a contract in the amount not to exceed
127,200.
Right.
127,200.
And I might add for the discussion that when I said government overruns are not uncommon, they are uncommon in Grover Beach. We'll make sure they stay uncommon. So if there are no other questions or discussion, do we have a motion?
I'll move that we approve the consent calendar as amended.
Okay, and that's a roll call vote.
I'll second.
Okay, moved by Mayor Pro Tem Lee and seconded by Council Member Marshall.
Yes.
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 Yes, that's unanimous. We have no regular business at this time. We have no pulled consent agenda items. So now we're moving to Council Committee reports and starting with Council Member Bright.
Thank you. Well, I haven't had any new meetings, but I did not report on the meetings that I had attended prior, although the mayor reported for me on one. And so I did, though, want to just give you a brief update on this. The proposals are due May 15th, so that is coming to fruition. And the other thing, though, that I thought was of significance is that the board requested information on a financial review of all the previous dollars spent on the various reports and so on that have gone on throughout the years.
And actually, if I could interrupt for just a second for a question for the city attorney, since I need to recuse myself on...
It's not an action item.
Perfect.
To
okay, cool. Thanks. Just want to make sure.
And you can... You can
step out.
Don't step out.
Okay.
I may need you.
Okay.
Anyway, we'd asked about, there had been like hundreds of thousands of dollars expended throughout the years for different reports and so on. And so we were interested in whether or not our money had been well spent. So they had painstakingly gone through all of the a financial review of all the different work products. There were over 100 work products that had been produced, and they were technical reports that were used for many other items, and a significant amount of the technical information in those reports is adequate and is still viable, and so they do expect to utilize a lot of that information. So we were quite pleased to hear that. And I think that was pretty much, that was the main gist of what I wanted to report back to you, just so you had an idea of how that's moving forward. Did you think there was anything else, sir, since you were there?
There was some discussion on capital projects, but they all seem to be moving forward. And
yes, they are.
If they're not completed, they'll be rolled over into the next fiscal year. So,
yep.
And I think the council's already approved the budget here,
yep.
Right? And so I guess the next step is for the county to take it to the Board of Supervisors,
right.
and have that approved at that point.
Okay.
Thank you. That was interesting.
Thank you.
And you have nothing else on your list for tonight?
Nope.
Okay, so we're on to Mayor Pro Tem Lee.
And I didn't have an Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting, but I did have a visit to San Luis Obispo County meeting where there was an update on the progress towards the TBID or the TMD. It's moving through its communication phase. They did at the request, I believe, of the county, change one of the four at-large seats. The entire year, we had a TOT of $268,000, which may sound like a great number until you look at the fact that all of the other, the unincorporated county and all of the cities, with the exception of Arroyo Grande, had a better month than we had a year. So it just encourages us to continue working on hotels and other means of getting transit occupancy tax into our city so that we can do good things with it.
So you're supporting that being our number one goal?
Yes.
Thank you.
And towards a goal of the Visit San Luis Obispo County, they are doing Saver again this year, and as similar to last year, ticket sales for the weekend are going on sale May 1st on a program to basically encourage people to buy their tickets early so that that money can then be used to put on the program. But $100 will get you into both days of the event if you buy them May 1st, where if you buy them later, not in that program, they're approximately $85 per person per day. So significant savings if you buy them shortly after May 1st. Wow.
And have we talked with them at all about what we might be able to do there?
Their strategy for the city remains the same unless we decide to either expand it or contract it.
So I was thinking more in terms of Saver. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what you're talking about? So do the train station again, mm-hmm. and that's what they're saying. Yeah. They're good with that.
Yeah, their approach for mm-hmm. the city is to maintain us, and they'll come forward as part of the mm-hmm. Stacey mm-hmm. Jacobs or a member of her staff will come forward as part of the appropriate time during the discussion, the budget discussion, to request that of us again if we're so inclined.
Do we know if they're going to keep the same wonderful pricing for us?
There hasn't been open discussion, but behind the scenes a little bit, there's the intent, I believe, is to keep it as close to that as possible.
Wow, that's wonderful. We've really done well there. Fingers crossed. Okay. Council Member Marshall.
Sure. We had a meeting at the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District last Wednesday, and the two items, one was we went over the third quarter budget. Everything is looking good. However, with work in the queue, next year may be a whole different story. But right now we're doing fine. We did, I think they congratulated the staff on...
more efficient and effective.
Yes. Yeah.
Safe or healthier. Sanitation.
Or at least gives you warnings right up to something's going wrong.
You know when it's not. Yeah. You find out sooner.
You find out sooner, exactly.
I'm wondering, you know, when we did our assignments for the various committees, at the time I left, they were working really hard with Kennedy Jenks to come up with a plan or options A, B, and C for what do we do? Do we upgrade? And has there been any, where are they?
They're still working on that. I think there's talk that it's coming within the next meeting, probably next month, we'll start getting back the feedback. My understanding, because they had spoken about that, not this past meeting, but the one before, and they had made they were formulating their recommendations. And I was actually kind of surprised that we didn't see it last Wednesday.
Okay.
Keep you posted.
Yeah. Council Member Nichols.
Well, we all know the results of the ballot for the assessment, which failed 60% no votes, 40% yes votes. And the board and the fire chief will sit down and discuss where we're going and how we're going to handle this as we move forward. So I don't have anything beyond that. The transit, South County Transit meeting will be Wednesday. So I will have a report on that at the next meeting.
That means I'm next. The Economic Vitality Corporation is meeting tomorrow afternoon or Wednesday afternoon, so I will report at our next meeting. And the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments and the San Luis Obispo Regional Transit Authority doesn't meet until the beginning of May, so I have nothing to report. Council communications. Are there any council communications?
I do have one, and the chief alluded to this earlier. I had an opportunity to meet with the owner of Beacon Chiropractic Services, and as a result of the community meeting that we had, he's taken the initiative to increase the communication amongst the people on his block on Grand between 9th and 10th in an effort to try and get a community meeting for the businesses associated there. And the chief is working with him to provide assistance, again, trying to improve that communication. So I think it's definitely a worthwhile goal for that block, and hopefully it becomes an opportunity for other blocks to use that as an example.
So. County's division will be held May 2nd in Buellton, and if you haven't signed up and if you've got an interest in going, you need to contact the city clerk as soon as you can.
Any reason why we can't do that now?
You can do that.
I'd like to go.
Have I RSVP'd? I didn't. Okay, it would be two.
So piggybacking on that, are you having your tourism summit that day?
Yeah, that's going to be a very busy day because we have the mayor's lunch here in Grover Beach, and we had such a good time at Bun Thai. We're going back, and everybody was so impressed. They did a lovely job. And then that's from 11:30 to 1, and then from 1 to 3 we have a tourism summit, which will be the five cities' tourism leaders getting together to just share their plans and what they're doing. And I think we could have one other council member there or a mayor pro tem if anybody wanted to come to that. That wouldn't be a Brown Act violation. And then after that, we have the League of Cities dinner. And then the next morning, Union Station's having their 75th anniversary and National Train Day. So I know Exploration Station, Debbie's going down, and Duke and Lori are going down. I'm going, and I think Parks and Rec Director Petker is going down too. So there'll be a lot of people there. And it's always been very positive. And it helps our relationship with the Amtrak also, so that we can partner with them a little bit more. So it all works together.
Is that the one where council members can't take the train?
You can take the train, but you have to pay for it. You can't take it free. Okay. Yeah. So we can. You can get the 20% Grover discount, which anybody in the community can get if they take the train out of Grover Beach, if they go online to slowcarfree.org. City Attorney, any reports and comments?
And actually, before we do that, so just a reminder, Tipicop.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Is May 8th?
May 8th.
May 8th, and there's a 5:30 seating and a 7 o'clock seating. And our own Chief Copsey will be available to serve more than he does every day.
Both.
Where is it this year?
South County Regional Center, so is the one locally. So, but I think they're having five of them this year. But the one in our community is at the South County.
Same place as last year.
Yeah, same place.
So this is to raise funds for Special Olympics. Mm-hmm. It's not to raise. It's not to tip the cops.
Right.
Okay.
And the chief is too big. We can't really tip him over anyway.
All right. Anything else before we? Okay. Okay. So it is 9:21, and we will recess to closed session, and we will be back.